Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus went down to Capernaum, town of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath. They were astonished at his teaching because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon. He cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet. Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them, came out of him without doing him any harm. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." And news of him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to give four ideas, one from the Gospel, first reading, Psalm, and the saint that we celebrate today. Okay, the first reading, St. Paul is exhorting us to be prepared. Be prepared. Prepared in, I'll say, two ways. Prepared because we can be tempted any time, any place, anyway. Okay, the temptation from the devil can come to us any time. So constantly we have to be on guard. We don't have to be nervous or tense. We'd rather be soldiers on guard because the enemy is always on the attack. And second is that we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. We could live another 50, 60, 70 years. We could live another 60 seconds. We really don't know. So it's foolhardy. What are the two worst things in the world? You know? One is committing a mortal sin, but there's something worse, dying in mortal sin. That's worse, no? Commit a mortal sin, there's hope. You die in mortal sin, you're lost for all eternity, no? So if we have the misfortune of committing a mortal sin, we should try to go to confession as quickly as possible. And don't put that off until tomorrow. So that's the message for the first reading, is vigilance. Psalm is a beautiful psalm. I believe that I will see the presence of the Lord in the land of living. You can interpret that in many ways, but I think a beautiful interpretation is that we believe one day we're going to contemplate the beatific vision, which means one day we're going to see God face to face. And the fact that we know that one day we're going to go to heaven, we trust we're going to go to heaven, that can help us to carry the heaviest crosses. And I don't think we think enough about heaven. And that's why we're here. You know, going to school is really secondary. Okay? It's secondary. You know, the primary purpose of our life is to get to heaven. So everything we do, whether we eat or drink or study or work, it's always in the function of the purpose of arriving at the end for which we're created, which is eternal life. Okay, the gospel today, if you read through the gospel, public life of Jesus can be divided in three activities. You see two of them very clear today. The three activities of Jesus would be that of preaching and teaching, and we see him doing today. Also, Jesus carried out miracles. Two types of miracles, over nature and miracles of healing. But then the third activity of Jesus is that of exorcisms, or casting out devils. No? So he preached, he did miracles, and also almost every other chapter of the gospel, you see him some type of conflict with the devil. What about us? When does the devil tempt us most? And I think it's a good question. Okay, I'll give you three of the openings that the devil has when he tempts us. In the Diary of St. Faustina, there's a number where the devil, St. Faustina is in a convent. That's where nuns live. They live in convents. And she's walking down the corridor and she meets the devil. And Jesus tells Faustina to stop the devil and ask the devil, because the devil is frantically running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So Jesus tells Faustina to stop the devil and ask the devil what his major triumph is. This is a convent of nuns, but it can be applied to a school, it can be applied also to a family. And the devil is forced to speak and says one word, laziness. Yep. Are you lazy? Yeah, John Bosco, patron of the young people. He was always afraid during vacation, because that's why young people have more free time, and the devil gets in. Idleness is the workshop of the devil. So true. So just be aware of that. If you have, St. Bonaventure says that when you're working hard, there's one devil that will go after you. When you don't have anything to do, there's a whole multitude of devils that are going after you. So we should always be engaged in some type of activity, physical, mental, or spiritual. So if you don't have anything to do, the devil will give you a lot to do. Okay? Yeah. You don't have anything to do, the devil's going to get, he'll give you a lot. So we don't want to enter into the workshop of the devil, do we? No? Okay, the second is this. This is the teaching of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Okay, when you're in a state of desolation, that's when the devil tempts all of us. Do you know what desolation is? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. Desolation means that you feel kind of sad, depressed, discouraged, down in the dumps. You used to say in the 60s, life is a drag, you know, we're kind of blue. Things don't seem to be going the way we like them to go. No one really seemed to care about me. We all go through that. That's the time when the devil tempts us. And did you ever watch Superman? He looks for our kryptonite. You know what kryptonite is? Kryptonite means our weak point. Okay, the third area in which the devil tempts us, and yeah, listen to this. Do you remember, do any of you know the first sorrowful mystery? I don't know it. Well, I'll tell you. The first sorrowful mystery is the agony in the garden. Did the apostles abandon Jesus? Well, yeah, sooner or later you learn something about the Bible. They did. But what was the primary reason for why the apostles abandoned Jesus? So instead of praying, they fell asleep. How many times? Three times. Then what happened? They fell asleep and they abandoned Jesus, and Peter denied their Lord three times. So it's because of lack of prayer. So if you don't pray, it's like going into a battlefield without any ammunition. So you have this army going at you with tanks and rifles and guns, and you're just going out there without anything at all. You're dead meat. You're dead meat. Huh? So our arm, our strength is prayer. You know, St. Alfonso says there's no such thing as weak people or strong people, but people that know how to pray and people that don't pray. Yeah. St. Alphonsus. No such thing as weak or strong people, people that pray, people that don't pray. If you pray, you're strong. You don't pray, you're weak. Okay, last but not least, we celebrate one of the last fathers of the church. I don't know if you teach a little bit of patristics to these kids, no? Eventually, the fathers of the church, no? One of the last is the Pope that we celebrate today is Pope St. Gregory the Great. Very rarely is a saint given, you know, the great, no? A couple of times a woman is given great, St. Gertrude the Great. But St. Gregory the Great, I'll just tell you one story in his life. In his life, he was talking with a friend about death, and they made a deal. Whoever died first was going to pray for the other one. So his good friend died, and Pope Gregory the Great, of course, is a pope. Of course, he was a priest. So he said he would pray for his friend. So he offered the Mass. Do you know how many Masses he offered for this guy? Not one or two a week. He offered a whole month of Masses for this one person. He was supposed to be a pretty good guy, too. A whole month of Masses. And after he finished the last Mass, which was 30 Masses, his friend appeared to him and said, "Ah, I am finally in heaven." So as a priest, I'm in a very busy parish, I do a lot of funerals. No? And what I try to do is I try to say words of consolation, which is the first reading today. But also I tell the people, hey, pray for this guy. Let's start a novena right now. Let's pray 9 days in a row. Let's pray for this guy that we can maybe get this guy out of purgatory. I think it's called false compassion to say that the person is dead is already in heaven. How do you know? Did you go there? Did you already go to heaven? your name Pope Francis II? I mean, you have no right to canonize anyone. So that's one story I like to tell when we celebrate this saint, is that we can never go wrong in praying for the souls in purgatory. If someone has already reached heaven, God isn't going to say, "Oh, sorry, he's already in heaven, and chuck your prayers in the trash." That's not the way God is, no? But rather, God's going to apply that prayer to someone else. So those are my style in preaching, is I try to take a little bit from the first reading, the psalm, the gospel, and the saint of today. Let's pray that as we start this academic year, that this will be the best year in our life. Let's pray that this is going to be the best academic year in our life. Let's ask Mary, who's known as the Our Lady of Consolation, that she'll console us with her powerful prayers this year. Amen.